The scripture this morning is taken from the book of Romans. And Paul was writing this letter to the Romans partly because he had planned to go there but was diverted. But anyways, his message in Romans chapter 10, verses 3 and 4, and again in 14. For they don't understand God's way of making people right with himself. Refusing to accept God's way, they cling to their own way of getting right with God by trying to keep the law. For Christ has already accomplished the purpose for which the law was given. As a result, all who believe in him are made right with God. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard of him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? The word of God for the people of God. Thanks.
Hear me? Check, check. I was told that you guys couldn't hear me last time either. I gotta speak up today. And like Grace said, please do offer us some grace this morning. Pastor Todd is ill and passed the torch to a few of us this morning. So we're trying to deliver his message for you. And hopefully, like I said, there's something in here for us to hear. But good morning, Living Water Church. Good morning, Living Water Church. I cut out again. So we've been going through this sermon series on Paul, where there's these essential qualities in his life that we would like to develop in ours as Christians to make us better followers of Jesus. In this series, Pastor Todd has talked to us about qualities like surrender, grit, and then last week, the quality of joy. And if you've missed any of those messages, you can find them online on our website. You can find them on Facebook to get caught up, because Paul really does have a lot of these qualities that we can strive for. So in your message notes today, you can grab a pen or pencil. The quality that we're looking at today is the quality of boldness. And that is something that is definitely misunderstood. What do we mean by boldness? Boldness, like Paul specifically, there's a lot of ways that we can define it. But if you ask someone to go out on a date, and you've just met them, that would be bold, right? But that's not kind of the boldness that we're talking about that Paul had. Or if you go to work tomorrow wearing an orange polyester leisure suit, that would be bold. It might be risky for your career, but very, very bold. I don't know, what is a leisure suit? Is that before my time, probably? Okay. That's your time? How about if you were a Buckeyes fan and you decided to wear a Buckeyes sweatshirt in Michigan? That would be bold. Maybe even life-risking boldness here in Michigan. But those aren't the kinds of bolds that we're talking about that Paul really exemplifies. Standing up for Jesus and speaking up for your faith in the world, that is like being bold, like Paul. And that's what we're going to talk about today. The essential quality of boldness is about sharing your faith in Jesus. It's about living out your faith in a world that is turned against us. And in so doing, God wants to develop in us as followers of Jesus a way to not go about it in a pushy way, but about living our life with purpose. It's not about being an extrovert, but it's about taking advantage of opportunities that God has before us and to pray for others, to encourage others, and build up others' relationship with Jesus. And so Paul was always bold for Jesus. In fact, one of the most famous stories that we see about Paul in the Bible is in Acts chapter 26. Now, we have to get a little background. We have to get some context here for what's happening in Paul's life. He's been in prison for 2 years because he was sharing his faith and telling others about Jesus. And while he's in prison, he's brought before this King Agrippa. Is that how you pronounce it? King Agrippa? And he's given the opportunity to defend himself. Remember, he's been in prison because he was telling others about Jesus. So here he is before King Agrippa, and it's in front of a large crowd, and it would have been very intimidating. Paul's there, and he's standing on trial for his life because of his faith, and he knew this. Now, what would most of us do in that situation? We might do whatever we needed to get out of that. We might beg for our life. We might just say what King Agrippa wants to hear. But Paul doesn't do that. Instead, as a prisoner, he, in the most likely environment, steps forward and shares boldly his faith in Jesus. And he did it to the king and the entire crowd that was there. It was bold, it was risky, and it was wonderful. So after Paul finishes telling them about Jesus, that's where we pick up this story, Acts chapter 26, beginning in verse 28. It says, Agrippa interrupted him, talking to Paul. Do you think you can persuade me to become a Christian so quickly? And Paul replied, whether quickly or not, I pray to God that both you and everyone here in this audience might become the same as I am, except for these chains. Paul is being bold. He lays it all out on the line, even when he's standing on trial for his life, even when it's going to cost him everything. And you wonder why someone like Paul would do that. He could probably work his way out of there and get out clean. Why would he do that? I think it's because he desperately wanted everyone there, including the king, including the crowd, to have faith in Jesus. He was desperate for their salvation. He wanted them to know God's love. He wanted them to make sure that they also have that fresh seat in heaven. Today, we're going to look at how we can be bold for Jesus like Paul was. Now, if that makes you nervous, I understand, because I too am a little introverted. And talking in front of a large crowd sounds very nerve-wracking to me. But I'm going to start simply today with a step that we can all make easily. And as we look at Paul, we're going to see a step-by-step process that we can develop a deeper and deeper boldness and have a different level of boldness in our lives. And so as we begin, here's what we want to do. Would you have an open mind to listen to how God's prodding in your heart and what he might say to you today? And ask God to challenge you as we learn from Paul and begin to take these steps of boldness today with an open heart. Here's our question. How do I develop an essential quality of boldness? Here's a step I believe that we can take. First, publicly share with others that I am a follower of Jesus Christ. You got to come out to those around you. This is where it starts. Publicly share to those around us that you're a follower of Jesus Christ. This is the starting point in developing boldness in our life. Let others know. And it's an essential part of living boldly. Why is just letting others know that you're a Christian being bold? Well, recently there's a Barner research identified that cities in the U.S. There's cities in the U.S. That have the most churchless people. San Francisco came in at the highest at 61% non-church. That makes sense. I visited once. It makes sense. Flint was the highest city in Michigan at number 17 of all U.S. cities, at 45% not going to any church ever, not even stepping into a church. And Detroit is number 33 with 39% not going to any church. And here we are, right here, between Flint and Detroit, two of the top ones in Michigan and in our nation. He has this statistic here that in our neighborhood, in our area, 22 to 25% of our population right here has not attended church. And to me, that's tragic. It's kind of heartbreaking. What does that mean? It almost says that we're in a mission field today, right where we're at. Now, we can look at that as an obstacle, that aren't many Christians here, or we can not be ashamed of Jesus, and we can look at that as an opportunity for us to share boldly with people around us. Because there's a whole lot of people with really no idea of who Jesus is. So they haven't been taught even a watered-down version. They haven't been taught the prosperity gospel or the half-truths that are out there. We have an opportunity to reach those 25%, one in four people in our area that haven't even experienced a glimpse of Jesus. This sharing simply starts by letting other people in your life know that you're a follower of Jesus. And these are the people that you interact with every day. So let's look at this next verse. It's from Colossians 4, verse 5. Let's read this verse out loud. It begins with "live wisely." Ready? "Live wisely among those who are not believers, and make the most of every opportunity." So you can underline that last phrase, make the most of every opportunity. God gives us opportunities every day to live out our faith in front of those who do not know him. It could be friends, it could be family, it could be coworkers, it could be neighbors or classmates. They can be people who follow you on social media. How do we make the most of those opportunities? Well, I guess we could be really bold. You could go to work tomorrow and you could say, wow, it's been a hot August, but you know what's going to be hotter? Hell. That might not go over so well, right? That might not be the right approach. Paul is saying, live wisely. Don't be obnoxious. Simply let people know that you're a Christian. Maybe drop it into conversations that you have every day. A coworker might ask you, what did you do this weekend? You could say, on Saturday, I went for a hike. On Sunday, I went to worship God at church. If someone asks what you're doing after work, you can say, well, it's Wednesday night. I'm a part of a grow group or a life group here at Seymour Lake Living Water Church. That group helps to inspire my faith, and we feed off of each other's joy and get to know one another. You can post verses and things like that. Let others know. And then if someone asks you about church, and what you're doing, there's the opportunity. Let them know that your faith is important to you. Let them know that you have a great church family on the corner of Sashabaugh and Seymour Lake. It's a simple way to be bold, but it opens up a door, and maybe it's the start of a conversation about faith. Why do this? Well, 1 Thessalonians 2:8 tells us why we should do this. Again, the words of Paul, we loved you so much. You can underline that phrase. We loved you so much. We loved you so much that we shared with you not only God's good news, but our own lives too. Simply put, if you care for others, if you love them so much, you won't hide your faith, because your faith in Jesus is the most important gift that you can give someone. Develop the essential quality of boldness in your life Start by just letting others know that you're a Christian. So here's the next step Pastor Todd has for us. The next step is to promise to pray for others when they share their struggles with me. Promise to pray for others when they share their struggles with me. One of the results of letting people know that you're serious about your faith is that when they face a problem or a struggle later on, they don't know where else to go, and they're worried or they're stressed out, they might turn to you because you are a person that has access to God. A coworker who's going through a divorce, a friend who is struggling with an illness, they may ask, "Can you pray for me?" A family member that's depressed, and they can trust you with this reality, that's when you jump in and promise to pray for them. Say you're going to be praying for them is one thing. Another step above would be if there's an opportunity, just pray for them right then and there, public. Paul writes in 1 Timothy 2:1, "I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them, intercede on their behalf, and give thanks for them." Now, let's take a moment to look at this verse. Paul says, pray for all people, which is hard to do just in itself, but what should we pray for them about? In verse 3, we find three ways to pray for people. So think about the people in your life. Three ways to pray for them. First, underline, ask God to help them. This is the general prayer for God's help in their lives. Ask God to help them. You know sometimes a coworker is struggling, but you don't know exactly what's happening in their life. You just start praying for them before you even know the specifics. Pray, God help them in their work. Help them to come to you and to know you, and help them to give me opportunities to help them more. That's a general prayer. We can pray a general prayer like that for people, and God intercedes. Underline the next section, which is number 2. Intercede on their behalf. Now, this is a more specific prayer. This is when they come to you with a specific struggle. You know what they're going through, and now you can pray for them. If there's a neighbor who's making bad decisions, a friend that had a miscarriage or something like that, you can pray for those specific things and let them know that you're praying for them and check in with them. And then third, the last part you can underline is give thanks for them. Offer up prayers of thanksgiving. Thank God that He's put them in your life. Thank God for the opportunity to help influence them towards Jesus. Now, sometimes we can get so caught up in our little worlds, I know I can, so that we're focused on our goals and our plans and our needs and our wants, that when someone else comes to us with a struggle, rather than seeing that as an opportunity, we see that as a hindrance to our daily schedule or our plans. Pastor Todd has a story in here that I love. He had a friend that came to him one time. His wife was in the hospital having a chemo treatment for breast cancer, and his friend had brought a book. The gist of the book, he doesn't remember the title, but the gist of the book was how to allow the Holy Spirit to break into your life. And so while he's reading this, he's just taking a minute to not be a pastor. He's not wearing his pastor hat at all. He's just trying to focus on this book, get some downtime, and someone comes up to him and starts asking him questions about his faith. And when he's doing that, his friend is very frustrated because he's just trying to relax and read this book about how the Holy Spirit can interrupt your daily schedule. And here this person is interrupting his daily schedule. And it took him about a half hour to go ahead and realize the irony of that whole situation and resisting the Holy Spirit. But he finally did. And so that verse that we read earlier is a opportunity. Don't let your schedule or distractions keep you from seizing the opportunity to pray for a person or talk to a person that God has intentionally brought into your life. You'll be amazed at the opportunities God opens for you to share the hope that you have in Jesus when you offer to pray for someone. To be bold, let people know that you're a Christian, offer to pray for them, and then there's this next step. Practice living out your faith publicly and privately. Practice living out your faith both publicly and privately. And that first step to being a bold person, you don't want to hide, right? So the people that come to you with their struggles, pray for them. And then after those two steps, you need to make sure that your actions are matching up with what God would say. So don't just say that you're a Christian. You need to prove it by the way that you live and by the way that you treat others. In 1 Corinthians 4:20, it says, "For the kingdom of God is not just a lot of talk. It's living by God's power." I love that. Paul says, "The kingdom of God is not a bunch of talk. It's about living by God's power." Now, to be clear, what you say does matter. When we speak truth, it matters. But telling others about your faith is important only if we can impact them with our lives and our actions as well. So, how do we live out our faith by God's power? Well, for starters, simply love people. Do good in Jesus' name. Live with integrity. Live the way that's consistent with what the Bible preaches. When you mess up at work, or you're tempted to lie or deflect blame onto someone else, don't do that. Be honest. Step up and take responsibility. That can be bold just in itself. Be a person of truth. When you're hanging out with your friends and everyone else is gossiping or tearing down others behind their back, don't do that. Stand up for what is right, even if no one else is. Serve others with love, bringing them coffee unexpectedly, and stand out and how you look. Be careful with the words that you say. Don't say that Jesus is in you and then talk like a sailor. When you live through the power of the Holy Spirit, a Christ-like life, they will begin to respect you because you are different. That might even begin with those words. That's a powerful witness. Here's the thing. The strength to live for Jesus publicly is found by practicing your faith privately, each and every day, through daily prayer and Bible reading. By being in church, by engaging in a growth group, your public witness for Jesus will be on shaky ground if your private devotion life with Jesus isn't built on a solid foundation. We've seen this play out publicly in so many ways. There's prominent Christians who saw their public image come crashing down when their hidden area of life, their private area of life of sin, came to light. Their life didn't match their words. Nothing turns people off more quickly to the gospel or to Christianity than those who profess Jesus' name but do not follow him. The same thing can happen to you if you neglect the private practices of your faith. So now let me say, for all of us, we have all fallen short of living out a Christian life in public. And I can imagine that all of us can think of a time when we wish we could have taken back the words that we had spoken in anger or a poor decision that we made. And when that happens, thankfully, God's love and forgiveness is greater than our greatest failure. Look at Paul's words in 1 Timothy 1, beginning with verse 15. He writes, "This is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them. we know Paul's backstory here, right? Paul, when he was Saul, was persecuting Christians. He goes on to say, "But God had mercy on me so that Christ Jesus could use me as a prime example for his great patience in even the worst of sinners. Then others will realize that they too can believe in him and receive eternal life." Paul had some regrets about his past, that's for sure. But through Christ, Paul was forgiven. He was forgiven in such a way that he could live boldly for Christ. You can't live boldly for Christ if you are stuck in sin. If this is where you are at right now, let God do for you what he did for Paul. Receive forgiveness and begin to live out your faith, both publicly and privately. And then, when you do this, here's the next step. Pursue opportunities to invite your friends and families to church. Pursue opportunities. One of the simplest, most effective ways to develop this essential quality of boldness is to invite your friends and family to come to church with you on Sunday. There's tremendous power in this invite. The seven most impactful and powerful words that you can say to someone is simply this: "Will you go to church with me?" Seven simple words. Will you go to church? And this can potentially, those seven words can potentially change someone's life forever. And here's the great thing about this step. You don't have to be a Bible expert. You don't have to be a Christian for a long time or a short time. You don't have to have the perfect words. It doesn't have to be a long conversation or a big, long explanation. It simply requires that you be bold enough to ask. So why don't Christians ask this? Why don't many Christians invite their friends and families? What keeps us from inviting them? Well, oftentimes, it's simply just having the wrong perspective. I mean, instead of focusing on what the invitation might do for that individual, we often overanalyze the invitation. We think of everything that could possibly go wrong. Here is some interesting research from Lifeway Research. They found that 79% of unchurched Americans say they would not mind a friend talking to them about their faith. That's 4 out of 5. And they also found that 20% of those who do not go to church that they interviewed would strongly consider going to church if you invited them or a friend invited them. 50% said that they would go to church if a friend asked. That's some pretty good news. So the hesitations that many of us have for inviting someone to church with us, it's mostly unfounded. We need to learn to just do it. Pray and ask God for the right opportunity. Look at what Paul says here in Colossians 4, beginning in verse 2. He writes, "Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Pray for us, too, that God will give us many opportunities." Circle that word, opportunities. Pray that God will give us many opportunities to speak about our mysterious plan concerning Christ. That is why I am here in chains. Pray that I will proclaim the message as clearly as I should. One of the things we should try to do here at Living Water is to make it as easy as for people to come in and worship with us. We want to do our best to make sure that the worship is powerful, that the message is relevant and clear and compelling. Next week, Pastor Todd is teaching about the essential quality of leadership. So if there's someone that you can think of in your life that's a leader outside of the church, would you think about inviting them and letting them know that next week's sermon is about leadership? They could be one of the 50% that say no, or the 50% that say yes. Don't take it personally if they're the ones that say no. It's okay. Pray that the Holy Spirit will work in their hearts and look for another opportunity in the future where you can bring them to church. We're talking about how to develop boldness with each step becoming bolder and bolder, right? That first step of just saying, I'm a Christian, could maybe be a little bit more easy than inviting someone to church. So we've kind of graduated ourselves up here. The next practice about living out publicly and privately, that's a little more hard. And here's the final one. Share my God story with those who don't know Jesus. Share my God story with those who don't know Jesus. This is where you share your story of faith. You let them know who you were before you became a Christian, how you came to be a Christian, and now what's different in your life now that you are a Christian. Paul writes in Romans 10 that Jan read for us earlier here in chapter 10, 3 and 4, and then verse 14. For they don't understand God's way of making people right with himself. Refusing to accept God's way, they cling to their own way of getting right with God by trying to keep the law. And really, for so many people, so many of us even, we try to get right with God and try to get ourselves to heaven by doing good things. But the Bible says that we can't. We can't get to heaven on our own. So what's the solution? Paul says Jesus is the solution. He continues, for Christ has already accomplished the purpose for which the law was given. As a result, all who believe in him are made right with God. In other words, you can't be saved by doing good things. That won't work. God offers the free gift of salvation to everyone through what Jesus did on the cross. So you can't earn your way to heaven, but you can receive the free gift that God offers through Jesus Christ. Now, why doesn't everyone accept that? Well, that's where we come in. If we look at that part that ends the passage in verse 14, he says, but how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? Would you underline that last phrase? How can they hear about him unless someone tells them? The good news about Jesus Christ is too great for us to keep to ourselves. Our friends, our coworkers, our family, they're not going to hear this eternity-changing good news unless you and I tell them. And the most powerful way you can do this is by sharing with someone your personal God story. It doesn't have to be long. It doesn't have to be dramatic. This is basically your story in 2 to 3 minutes, a little elevator pitch, if you will, of what God has done in your life. It's really simple to do. You just simply answer these three questions. What was my life like before becoming a Christian? Then, how did you become a Christian? Then you share what your life is like and how different it is now that you are a Christian. It's that simple. If you've never taken the time to write this out personally, you should do that. Pastor Todd hopes that you will. The last time that he offered this before the congregation, a few of you sent in your personal testimonies, and he really felt that it was a blessing for him to read, but it also gets us as a congregation in the rhythm and know exactly how to present that to others. So answer those three questions. Write out our testimony, and then do him a favor by emailing it to him. He would love to read that. So God is calling all of us to be bold. God is calling all of us to share the hope that is within us. This isn't a passive task. This is a privilege. To help someone step across the line of faith, it's a privilege to know that there's going to be someone in heaven because you were bold. Because you prayed, and because you shared your faith with them. Let me ask this right now. Will there be anyone in heaven because of you? Will there be anyone in heaven because you were bold enough to let them know that you are a Christian, to pray for them, to live out your life of faith, to invite them to church or to share your testimony with them? There's no greater gift than you can give anyone than to help them find Jesus and their eternal life in heaven. I guarantee there are people in your life right now who don't know Jesus. If something were to happen this week, would they spend eternity with God in heaven? God has you in their life for a reason. It's not an accident that you're in their life right now. He wants to use you. He wants you to be bold in your faith with that person. So let me encourage you today, be bold. Start by making a list on your Connect card. The third next step on there, life, who know Jesus Christ. Begin to pray for them. Pray for their salvation every day. Pray that God will give you an opportunity to invite them to church and to share your faith. Pray that they will come to know Jesus. Then invite them to church. Many of them are going to say yes to your invitation. Then when God opens the door, share your story, your God story with them. Let them know what God has done in your life. God will use it. And remember, you're not sharing your faith in your own power. You're sharing it in God's power. In fact, we want to see in this final verse, Romans 1, verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Gentile." He says, "I am not ashamed of Jesus." Underline that phrase. It is the power of God. Listen, I know that there's sometimes it's intimidating to talk to someone about your faith, but God doesn't ask us to do the saving. He saves them. He doesn't ask you to do this on your own power. He says, "I'm going to give you the power to do this." He just asks that you are available to be bold. And you can start today by beginning to pray for those people in your life. So let's pray as the worship team comes up. Lord, help us to be bold. Lord, you've placed people in our lives that you've set before us, in our families, in our workspaces, even in this church, people that we can be bold and pray for. God, help us to do those steps by firstly coming out to them as Christians, letting them know that we are willing to pray for them. Maybe even, Father, praying for them out loud in person. Help us to identify those things in our lives that we were when we were first far from you, and creating our story, our testimony to share with others about what you've called us to and how we live differently now. Lord, all these things are nerve-wracking. They're hard to do. They're not everyday things for us. We're not well practiced. But Lord, give us the desire and the want and the love to help these individuals out. That is first and foremost. Give us your heart, Lord. Help us align with your will and your purpose in their life, and help us to do your work boldly. Amen. So we're going to sing this new song. It's called Make Room. You guys are welcome to stand. The lyrics say, "I will make room for you to do whatever you want to do." That there in itself is a bold prayer. God wants us to become a little more vocal in our faith. We need to live a Christian life, but if people don't know that we are Christians, they'll just think that we're good people, right? People no longer assume that you must be a Christian. But we have to convince them that Christians are not fake, they're not intolerant, they're not mean, we're not hypocritical. Boldness is essential today more than ever. And so are you willing to risk the opportunity to share your story if the Holy Spirit prompts you? Are you close enough to God that you recognize his voice and sense of promptings
talk to God and let's sing this powerful song to him. Please stand.